They all say hello. We're having a conference in June, starting the first, going through the fifth, and you're all invited. Let us know if you're coming, and your preachers will let you preach. I recognize it's a long way over there, but I found out it's just as far from there to here as it is from here to there. So we be looking for you. We don't enjoy the fellowship that you have here. We don't have any close brethren to fellowship with, and so it's a treat for me. I've enjoyed this conference more than any other but one. And the only conference I ever enjoyed more than this was the first one over at Brother Clark's. And that's where the Lord had brought me to the truth. And I thought my wife and I was the only people in the world that believed like that. And we found a whole church and then several other churches that believe the same. And we'd never heard preaching like that before. Somebody asked me if I had a new thing. I looked for something new and couldn't find it. So we'll have to preach something that's old from the Word of God. If you would, take your Bibles and turn to John, the 8th chapter. We'll preach on this afternoon, Free in Christ. There's many have taken the ideal of the liberty that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ and the freedom that we have in Him, and they use it for a cloak of covetousness. They use it to hide their wickedness.
Right.
And I'm thankful tonight, or this afternoon. If I say tonight, I mean this afternoon. And if I say this morning, I mean this afternoon. So we'll settle all that. In John, the 8th chapter, and the 31st verse, starting there, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed." Now, see that there's a requirement before we even go on. Jesus says if you stay, if you abide in His word, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They said unto answered Him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we never in bondage. We're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." I believe that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ meant. And I believe this afternoon that I'm free. And that I've been set free by the Son of God. And when we sin, it is no light thing. You see, the sinner or the lost man, he sins because it's after his own nature to do it. And if he goes out, the Bible says even the plowing of the wicked is sin. He don't plow to the glory of God. He just goes up there and he sets himself up as God or something else as God. And so even his plowing is sin. But for the child of God, he's been set free. And he has no business sinning. Now, I have to say this before I start so I don't lose somebody before we get through. I don't believe in sinless perfection. But that should exactly is what our goal should be.
Amen.
There is absolutely no excuse for a child of God to sin. Because God has provided us and empowered us that we should not sin. And it tells us that if we will walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's so. And so as we look this afternoon, we want to see that we have a place, or we have been placed in Christ, and our position is free from sin. And that's exactly how we ought to live.
Amen.
We should not excuse ourselves, by the way, for sinning. We do that, don't we? That's the old flesh. Well, of course it's the old flesh. I mean, the Spirit of God would not lead you to do anything like that. That new nature that God has given you has a desire for holiness, just like the brother taught us. But when we sin, it's because we have given in to the flesh. We have given in. It's not the devil that made us give in. It is not God that made us give in. It is we that have given in, and we have sinned. And to sin as a child of God is nothing to whitewash. It is nothing to excuse. It is something to repent of and confess of and to feel very sad about. Because we have failed to live for the Lord Jesus Christ who has saved us and loved us. We find then we partly realize our freedom now, and we will realize it, our freedom full in the time to come. Well, let's look at Romans, the 6th chapter. That our position in Christ is free. That's exactly what he says there. And we're going to start the first verse and read through the 11th. And he starts out there in the 5th chapter. For those who said that if the grace of God are much more abound when people sin, then the idea would be, let's just sin some more. But he says, what shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin? Now that's what the Lord says here. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now that's just what it says. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now the life that we have to God today is through Jesus Christ. Because you see, the old flesh is of no value. I mean, the flesh principle cannot live for God. It cannot live to God. And the only way we can have any life toward God is through Jesus Christ. And Jesus has set us free, absolutely and totally free. When a child of God comes, when a lost sinner comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he becomes a child of God, the Bible says there in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and the 17th verse, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you had a new perspective on life. You had a new perspective and ideas about God like you've never had before. You seen sin, sin. Can you remember when we was first saved how awful sin was? I remember when I was before the Lord begging him that he might save me. Now, I believed before that all you had to do is just command him, you know, just tell him what to do, and he'd do it. But that night God saved me, I was afraid that he wasn't going to do it. And I could see those sins before me as something evil and absolutely and totally wicked. I seen no good thing in them. Matter of fact, I didn't find anything in them to laugh about. I didn't find anything in them to joke about. Because I seen it for those sins that Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary for. It wasn't because that there was a joke. It wasn't because they was funny. It was not because there was a light thing. It's because that they was written, that they caused to be written on me death. And that the least sin, no matter how small it is, upon it would wrote death right across my head. But the Lord Jesus Christ took all those sins upon him. And as he took those sins upon him, he took everyone without exception. And listen, when Jesus was in agony over my sin, it was not a joke. And it wasn't funny. Amen. And the sins that I commit today are still not a joke. Amen. And when Jesus was hanging there and suffering there, he had no laughter about it. Amen. It pleased him to do it. But brethren, it was not something that was funny. So why should you and I joke and laugh about sin? We shouldn't. I don't believe we should. Amen. And we should count it as it really is. It is something terrible and wicked for a child of God to sin. Amen. And I think it's a whole lot worse than when we turn around and joke about what we've done. Because it's not funny. If it had been funny, there wouldn't have been any need for Jesus to die for us. We find that God has set us free from the bondage of sin. I'm no longer under the bondage of sin. Why do we keep on sinning? It's no longer my master. I've been set free. I'm no longer under the bondage of it. But I find that warfare in my flesh.
Amen.
But brother, in Jesus Christ, we find the 11th verse of Romans, where it tells us to reckon ourselves so. It says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It says, count it so. He didn't say, I hope you find out it's so. I hope you can grow into it. It says, count it as so, because it's so. It's not something that's going to be so. It's already so. We have been freed, and we are to reckon it so. I'm thankful that it is that way. We should live wherein God has called us. And anything less than that is absolute failure. It's failure. And again, I want to recommend to us, let's don't blame the flesh. Whose flesh is it? It's not the Lord's flesh. It's my flesh. And Jesus has already gave me the remedy for it.
Amen.
And we find then, as we try to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, we find that we do, like most people do, or almost all of us done, we revert back to the flesh to try to live for God. See how good I can do for Him. I mean, the flesh is religious. It can be very religious. And it likes to preach. I mean, you can get the flesh loves to preach. It loves to do religious things. It loves to be exalted. You know, if one preacher gets more praise than the other, you know, that old flesh really gets angry, doesn't it? To the one that didn't get the exaltation. Now, to the one that got exalted, the flesh loves it. In the flesh, there is no good thing. In Romans 7th chapter, the first four verses, it says, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that law hath dominion over man as long as he liveth. For the woman which has a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that as she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Now, I am not in this situation, but I think we've seen enough of it that you can imagine with me that here is a person, a man and woman, they're married. Her husband dies, and she marries another. Now, that's the illustration here. You and I were in the bondage of sin. Jesus Christ has come, and we died to that bondage.
Amen.
And been set free. Now, what would you think about a wife, her first husband is dead? She marries another one, and she says, you know, Sam, my first husband was a lot better than you. He used to take me over here. He used to take me over there.
Yeah.
Now, what kind of marriage do you think that'd be? Do you think her husband would get a little jealous? Listen, when we flirt with what God has set us free from, the Bible says that God is a jealous God.
Amen.
And He won't put up with that, for He shall chastise us. Listen, we bring a disgrace to the Lord Jesus Christ when we fall into sin. I don't care how small we count it or how large we count it. We bring a dishonor to God. You see, we've been set free from that old marriage and we've been bound to another, the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet we want to live in the old way and do the old things. We need to be set free. And we find, as Paul found in this passage, that he just couldn't do it. In the 14th verse it says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do I allow not, for what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consider unto the law that is good. Now then is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. That is the struggle of the flesh. And as long as you try to live for God in the flesh, you cannot do it. It was no better after you got saved than it was before you got saved. In the 25th verse, it says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now we usually just run right over that, don't we? We don't want to dwell on that. Well, here was Paul, and he is saved. He found within him, as a new creature in Christ Jesus, a desire to live for God. And so he could go try to live for God. And he found out when he tried to live for God, that to do was not present in him, and he could not do it. He found that his desire was there, but in him was the inability to live for God. And until we realize we have no ability to live for God, we'll always be in the flesh and never, ever please God. Because in the flesh is always the law of sin. It cannot and will not and could not, even it could, live for God.
Amen.
It will not do it. And I don't care how great or how much strength and willpower you've got, the more you will, the less you'll find you can do anything for God. There in 2 Corinthians 12th chapter. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. It is only when we're weak in the flesh do we have the ability to live for God. Because we cannot do anything. And we find this struggle as long as we're in this body. We'll have it. But it gives us no excuse. We'll find then that the flesh cannot serve God. It absolutely, positively cannot serve God. The plying of the wicked is sin. And the plying of the Christian that plows in the flesh is sin. Just as much sin as the wicked man that plows. We need to learn that we cannot do anything for God. We don't have the ability. You have no more ability to live for God in the flesh than you did that the flesh could save you. How many of you did you get saved by the flesh? Don't raise your hand and embarrass all of us. I mean, what good work could you do to get saved? Now, the flesh likes to do religious things. We already mentioned that. And as long as you give flesh room, it'll appear to serve God. Pharisees were very religious people. That's the truth. I was pastoring a church one time, and it appeared to me that there were several Pharisees in the church. And I would keep loading them up every Sunday. You know, a Pharisee tries to keep all the counsel of God. I mean, enough that he appears to be holy. So what I would do, just load them up. I would just keep loading on, loading on, loading on. Then finally they get to the door. And they'd go, "Would you change your subject?" Now the problem was they had not the ability to serve God at all. But when they started seeing what God fully required of anybody that was trying to keep the law, they found out that they absolutely had no ability. And a child of God has no ability in the flesh to serve God. He cannot do it. And so our being free in the Spirit has to be empowered by God.
Amen.
There in Romans 8 chapter, and brother read this, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And I'm glad of that. My old sins have no authority over me today.
Amen.
They do not do it. I've committed sins, I guess, about every day of my life. I don't know if I had a perfect day yet or not. And if I thought I did, then the thought was probably sinful to begin with. But those things that I've laid before God are done away with. If I get them right between God and myself, and between me and man, if it's needful, and between me and the church, if it's needful, then they're past. And I praise God that in that condition or situation, even when I fall into sin by giving into the flesh, that before God that there's no condemnation, save forever. Because I have no more ability to live for God. Those that believe that they have to live for God in order to be saved. Now I'm talking about that if they sin, that they be damned and go to hell. And as long as they live perfect, that God will take them. Every one of us here know that we'd never make it. The day you got saved, you'd been lost again and doomed. But in God there is no condemnation. But he goes on to say, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemneth sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The Bible says not only has Christ set us free, but he's empowered us by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
The Bible over and over tells us to be filled with the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. Many are afraid, as the brother was talking about the sanctification, second work of grace, and so on and so forth. Listen. It doesn't take another work of grace. You already got it.
Right. Amen.
It takes that denying the flesh and looking to God.
Amen.
It takes to recognizing ourselves that there's no ability. And looking to Him who has all ability, God Almighty, that His Spirit might so fill us and so guide us and so take care of us that we'll walk wherein God would have us to walk. I'm thankful that I'm free in Christ Jesus. I'm thankful that God has given me a new mindset, that I've been renewed in my mind. The Bible tells us that we should offer our bodies a living sacrifice and not be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're continually to be renewed in our mind. This is the renewer. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God and renews our mind. And we see sin for what it is. It's sin. And it's failure. We'll find then to have a mindset to live for God. Every person in here that's been saved has a desire to live for God. We have that desire within us. If you don't have a desire to live for God, then you've missed it. You don't have what the Bible calls salvation. Because a child of God will have a desire to live for God. Even when you're backslidden, it'll make you mad for someone to tell you that you ought to be living for God, because deep down you know you ought to be.
Amen.
And the Spirit of God lives there. It won't be long before you will be.
That's right.
And so we find there in Galatians, the 5th chapter, and the 16th verse. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, that ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Shall not fulfill it. So that tells me when I fall into sin that I'm not walking in the Spirit. That would lay to rest some of these people who said they'd walked in the Spirit for 10 years and never been out of the Spirit once in their life since they've been saved. If you walk in the Spirit, you'll fulfill the law of God. Some people think that today that we live in, that the law of God is of no value to the child of God. Now, there's a difference in the law. I'm no longer under law. I'm under the law of Christ. I have liberty in Christ. But it says, if I love Jesus, if I've loved the Lord, I'll keep His commandments.
Right. Amen.
I'm under the law of love.
Amen.
And the law of love will lead me to keep the laws of God. The love of Christ will not lead me to sin. Because if Jesus died for sin, why in the world would He lead me to sin some more? Jesus will always lead you in a path of righteousness for His own name's sake. Jesus will never ever lead you into adultery. He'll never lead you to steal. He'll never lead you to hate your brother. He'll never lead you to envy and strife. He'll never lead you in those things because those things are abominations to God. The Bible says if you love the Lord, you'll keep His commandments. But we keep them because we love Him. If you're keeping them but trying to get to heaven, you'll never make it. You can't make it that way. The Bible tells us there in 1 John that the law of God is not grievous. Now to a Pharisee, the law of God is grievous. The law of God to the lost person is grievous. He says, well, I would join your church, but they got too many do's and don'ts. I would join your church, but, you know, I have to give up this and give up that. What are they telling you? Now, what are they telling you? The law of God to them is grievous. Listen, if they have the first work of grace, which the only work there is, then they would be willing to give up anything. And they wouldn't need that second blessing that some people are looking for. That's the truth. David said the law of God was his delight. That he meditated in it day and night. In the first Psalm, it tells us how that a man that meditates in the Word of God day and night is like a tree that's planted beside the water. You see, the law of God to the child of God is a blessing. It's not a curse. Because it tells us what God requires of us. And the requirements of God are out of love. Because God doesn't want His children sinning. You that are married and have children, do you want your children out stealing or killing or something? Why do you tell them not to do it? Is it not out of love? I hope it is. And the commandments of God toward us are out of love. And they're not grievous to a child of God. There in Galatians, the 5th chapter, in the 1st verse, it says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't go back into Canaan land or into Egypt. Don't go back into the paths of sin. Don't err to the same right like you used to. We find there in Galatians, the 5th chapter, 13th verse, it says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Listen, anybody that tells me that they love the Lord and that they're sealed inside and their body can sin all they want to, they tell me they have no love of God in them. They tell me that they don't love me. 1 John. We didn't turn there a while ago. I want to read the 5th chapter and the first few verses. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that's begotten loveth Him also that's begotten of Him. Now how do you know that you love the brother? Well, some people say, well, when so-and-so comes by, I just feel so warm. But you know, the Bible tells you how you can know that you love the brother. He says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Well, what do you know about that? It says, if you're afraid that maybe you don't love the brother like you ought to, are you keeping the commandments of God? Have a heart of love. If you are, you love the brother. You'll love everyone that is preaching those commandments. Someone that hates a preacher because he preaches the truth gives evidence that they're not the child of God. Now, sometimes a child of God will get a little angry at you, won't they? They'll saw up and all that and don't come for a Sunday or two. Next thing you know, they're down the aisle with tears coming down their eyes because the Spirit of God won't let them get by with that. But you take a Pharisee or a Sadducee, man, they can get puffed up and mad. When they get puffed up and mad, they just leave. Listen, one of the evidence that you are a child of God, that you like hearing preached the commandments of God. The Word of God. And that gives you evidence that you love the brethren. For someone that tells me that they love God and love the brethren, and they're full of adulteries, or their eyes are full of adulteries and sin of all kinds, and tell me and preach and teach others to sin, it tells me they have not experienced God. They do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. They cannot know Him and live like that. You see, what happens to a child of God is he sins. Every one of you has experienced what I'm going to tell you. And if the Lord doesn't come quickly, you're going to experience it again. A child of God is sins, and the Spirit of God pricks him. And until you get that right with God, now you'll suffer with it as long as you put it off. But until you get it right with God, you'll suffer. And soon as you go before Almighty God and confess it and get it right with God and man, you'll find the burden's gone. But you see, a sinner's not like that. He sins, and as long as he doesn't get caught, he's all right. And so God has called us to freedom. We're to walk then in the Spirit. There in 1 Peter. There in 1 Peter 2:16. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of malice, but as the servants of God. Now don't you think it peculiar that men who call themselves the men of God teach that people can use this liberty and freedom we have in Christ as a cloak to sin? When the Bible says we're not to do it. We're free in Christ, but we're not free to sin. We're to be separated. Many claim to be free, but they reveal their bondage. There in Romans 6 chapter 16th verse, know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now if a man is out here sinning and living in sin, has no remorse for his sin, and teaches others to sin, I have to assume that his members are given over to wickedness. I have to assume that he is the servant of wickedness, and I have to assume that he is not the servant of God. Because his fruit bears him out that he's a wicked person. The righteous shall do righteously. They're not going to do wickedly. Our freedom is only partial now. In Philippians, I'm glad the Lord gives this to me, or gives this to us. I used to worry about that because I seen what the Bible requires. The Bible requires is exactly what that brother preached, requires holiness. Amen, brother. It requires perfection. Now that's what it requires. And when you get saved, it does not decrease it one bit. God still requires holiness. Amen. Now in the third chapter of Philippians, starting at the ninth verse, he says, be found in him and not having my own righteousness. Now Paul didn't want his own righteousness. Which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That's the kind of righteousness I want. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. And what is Paul saying? That he wanted to know the power of His resurrection. Knowing the power of His resurrection would be sinless perfection. Realizing our complete debt to sin. Paul said he's not looking for the resurrection in this verse. He is looking for the power of that resurrection to be active in his life. Amen. That's what he wanted. He says, to be conformable unto his death, if by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already obtained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now what did Paul say? Paul says, I would like to live without sin. I have a desire to live for Jesus and to live totally, wholly, righteous for Him. But I find I cannot do it. Now what did Paul say? I just give up. He says, I press on toward tomorrow.
Amen.
He says, I forget those things laid behind. I forget my yesterday successes. And I forget my yesterday failures. And I press on toward the mark of His high calling in Christ Jesus. God has not called us to be almost perfect. He has called us to be perfect. And one day we shall be perfect. We find there in 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. It says in the 17th verse, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now I recognize one day we're going to be just exactly like Him. 1 John 3:2, brother already read it. When we see Him, we shall be like Him.
Amen.
But 2 Corinthians says the change starts right now.
Amen.
And that we're not changed from defeat to defeat. We're not changed from failure to failure. The Bible says that we are changed into His same image from glory to glory. That means that you're going to live more for Jesus now than you used to. And next year you're going to live more for Jesus than you did this year if the Lord doesn't take you or He doesn't come. Next year every one of us here should be more holy because we all should be striving for perfection. God has not called us to strive for anything else. Don't strive to be a little good. Because God hadn't called us for that. You know what it'd do for you? It'd make you frustrated with the flesh. Because every one of us here tries to live for God and we fail. And the reason we fail is because we try to do it our own. It'd make you more frustrated with your flesh every day. More dependent upon God every day. If we're pressing for the mark, let's don't ever be satisfied with where we're at. Somebody says don't set a goal that's unattainable. I'll tell you tonight, or this afternoon, the authority of God's Word, it is attainable. The more you see Jesus, the more you're going to look like Him. And one day He's going to call you to Himself and you're going to look exactly like Him because you're going to see Him as He is.
Amen.